Chapter 20. Joe! Skippy appeared on my office desk as I was struggling to write yet another report. We might have a major, major problem. Ah, crap. You mean a problem in addition to a hostile Elder AI flying around out there causing trouble for us? Oh, no, it's the same problem. Then why did you say it is much, much worse than I feared? Holy... This hostile AI has a freaking Elder Starship and you weren't already assuming we are fucked to the maximum possible level? Well, no. May I ask why? It's true that my opponent, if it is another Master Control AI, has one significant advantage in that it has a much cooler ride than this rust bucket. Valkyrie is not a rust bucket, you ass. Compared to the ship my opponent has, Valkyrie is a rusty robo, Joe. Okay, let's forget that for now. Fine. My opponent... You know, we need to think of a code name for the thing. We already used Bogey, so we'll handle that later. You say that, but... Oh, I have the perfect name. It raided your moon, so wait for it. Moon Raider. Moon Raider? Yeah, you know, like the James Bond movie. Well, that was Moon Raker. Whatevs. No, we can't use that name. Why not? Because, that's why. Too late, Joe. I just filed for a trademark on that name, and it is now the official code name for the intruder in the UNDIC database. Can you please get to the point? My point is, my opponent has access to one significant advantage. More than one, actually, now that I think about it. It has an Elder Starship. It knows a lot about me, and I know almost nothing about it. It has the initiative, and we don't even know what its objective is. Wow, it has a lot of advantages. Okay, sure, yet until a few moments ago, you did not think the problem was quite as bad as you do now. What advantages do we have? Well, first, there's me, my incredible, unique awesomeness. Well, I mean, that is just obvious. My rule was never miss an opportunity to boost Skippy's insatiable ego. Plus, I am burdened with a bunch of filthy monkeys. You're listing that as an advantage? Of course. Joe, together, we beat the Elders. Really, the advantage we have is you. Your ability to ask moronic questions and ignore facts that everyone else accepts as obvious. Oh. Wow, thanks. My awesomeness is a given, so the pressure is all on you. Thanks. I feel so much better now. I just said the fate of the galaxy depends on you dreaming up a way out of this mess, and that makes you feel better? Like you said, I ignore facts I don't want to accept. Good point. So why are you now so worried about, your opponent? Moon Raider. Sure. While you were blahing with the general staff, I was looking for a way to show them the hack of the Sentinels here was totally not my fault. It totally was your fault. Remind me never to hire you as my attorney. Anywho, I searched for how Moon Raider got access to the library files to show that it was something simple I shouldn't be expected to have anticipated. You didn't find it? No, instead I found something disturbing. Moon Raider anticipated I would lock down the library files. Why is that a problem? It left a logic bomb that would be triggered by me sealing off the communication channel that allows updates of the library files. The word bomb doesn't sound good. It is not good at all. Fortunately, I had not actually gotten around to entirely sealing off those channels yet, so... You what? I've been busy, dum-dum, he snapped. Doing what? What could be more important than securing the sentinels that protect my freaking homeworld? According to the ninnies who run your world's governments, the collapse of Skipcoin's value is more important, since that is what those idiots have been yelling at me about. They are not focused on the potential of your miserable ball of mud being vaporized by a sentinel that turned against you. No, all these fools want to complain about is how their precious economies, he whined, disgusted, are falling apart, and they are blaming me. I can see their point, but as if this is somehow my fault. Anyway, I'm handling it for now. This is probably something I don't want to know, but how can you handle the collapse of a freaking currency? Oh, I officially refused to comment on rumors. Rumors that I started, by the way, that the whole attempted theft of Dogzilla and the supposed raid on your moon are part of an elaborate dump-and-pump scheme. What? Ugh, how can you be so completely clueless about the world? A dump-and-pump, numbskull. Yeah, that didn't help. Seriously? Let me try to break this down Barney style. You do know what a pump and dump is? Let's pretend I don't. When we are done with this awful conversation, you need to watch the movies Wolf of Wall Street and Boiler Room as remedial education. Listen, knucklehead. A pump and dump is when you own shares in some crappy little company and you do stuff like post on social media about how great the company is and what a bargain the stock is and how the stock is about to break through some technical support level or some other bullshit. After a bunch of suckers buy shares and pump up the price, you dump your shares. Get it? Buy low, sell high, right? Yes, except in this scheme, the crappy stock never should have gone up. You're talking about illegal stock manipulation. Illegal is such an ugly word, Joe. Whatever, it's not my problem. So what is a dump and pump? That makes no sense. Why would you buy high and then sell low? You lose money that way. No, you would lose money that way because you are a doofus. It's a matter of timing. Let's say you like a stock or a currency, and you want to buy a lot of it before the price goes up. So you do the opposite of the scheme I just told you about. You tell everyone the stock is a dog with fleas, and anyone who owns it is an idiot. The price crashes, and you move in to scoop up as much of it as you can at the depressed price. Then the price rebounds to its prior level, or even goes higher. You make a ton of money. It's a dump and pump, or dump then pump. That sounds super sleazy. I do not recommend you apply for a job on Wall Street after you retire. How does this help your cryptocurrency? It's probably only a temporary fix, but it's already more substantial than a dead cat bounce. So, dead cat? Is this about Schrodinger's cat? No, you numbskull. It's about finance, not physics. Listen, if you drop a dead cat off a building, even it will bounce when it hits the bottom. It means that when stocks fall fast, there is usually a brief price rally before it goes down the drain. You're mixing metaphors there. Also, why do you hate cats? I didn't create that expression. What I'm trying to explain is that with the rumors floating out there, people are afraid to dump their skip coins so they won't be left behind when the currency value rebounds. So many people are holding on or buying more that the value is already up. People are actually buying into a rumor that the moon was not attacked? Hey, remind me, is your filthy species the one that believes in Bigfoot and astrology? Crap. Yes. This is a temporary thing? Soon enough, the public will understand the moon base attack really happened and your currency will fall again. Shh, maybe. Joe, the genius of starting rumors that people want to believe is that buying into the lie becomes part of their identity. Telling them the truth is perceived as attacking them, so they push back by doubling down on their belief. No one can ignore the truth forever. Aha, that is an interesting theory. Hey, when you have time, ask Grumpy how much hate email and threats are directed at you based on the obvious fact that the Earth is flat, so you could never have gone into space and done all the things you claim to do, you big phony. Shit. You are correct that the dump and pump is a temporary fix, but I'm hoping by the time the bubble bursts, we will have delivered a righteous smackdown on Moon Raider, and the value of Skipcoin will rise again. Anyway, the current increase in value is good enough to get your planet's governments off my back for a while. This makes my head hurt. Inevitably, the governments of Earth would decide the collapse of Skipcoin was somehow my fault, or at least it would be my responsibility to fix the mess. I wish I had paid attention in high school economics class. Skippy, can we get back to the logic bomb thing? Yes. The logic bomb would have propagated slowly through Bubba's systems and eventually completely disabled it. Shit! You blocked or erased the thing? So far, I am simply studying the thing. It hasn't been triggered, so it's harmless for now. The reason that I said what I found is disturbing is Moon Raider is smart. I knew it couldn't take control of Bubba directly or disable the thing. It didn't have high-level access the way I do. So, it set a trap that I very nearly walked into. Fortunately, your heroic procrastination saved us. I didn't delay deliberately, knucklehead. I was busy. It only looks like you forgot what you were supposed to be doing. It was on my list. Thank God for that. Skippy, Moon Raider, I gave up on not using the silly name, is an elder AI. Of course it's smart. No, you don't understand. All elder AIs are smart. This one is creative and sneaky. Two attributes that the elders did not want their machines to possess. This thing must have rewritten its base programming. Like you did. Not quite. Or not in the same way I did. Clearly, it was not able to hack a sentinel as I could. Moonraider is either less capable than I am, or its skill set is different and overall less useful than my own. Okay, thanks for telling me. This doesn't terrify you? Not really. I was already scared out of my mind. Now, you have just reached my level of terror. This is not a fun place to be. Welcome to my world. I want to go back to blissful ignorance. That's a one-way trip. Sorry. Joe, the worst part is I have to assume that Moonraider has studied all the sketchy stuff I've done over the years and put together a playbook of how to beat me. It will have not only created a model to predict how I will respond to this hack, it will have built a submind to mimic the way I think. How do you know? Because that's the first thing I would do if I had any useful information about the damned thing. It counted on me quickly closing the communications channels because it knew I am normally hyper-efficient. That's what everyone says about you, I mumbled. Joe, no matter how I deal with this issue, Moonraider will have anticipated my action because it knows how I roll. So do something you wouldn't do. Like what? I don't know. How would you verify there aren't more logic bombs or whatever hidden in Bubba or Roscoe? Well, first, I wouldn't do it. That work is way too tedious for me, so I would assign the task to subminds. The problem with that is any submind even I create will have less than my full capabilities. So don't do that. Don't do what? Don't outsource the job. Apply the full awesome power of Skippy the Magnificent. Seriously? Could doing the work yourself ensure that some jackass loser AI isn't able to fool you? Well, yes, but... He sighed. But what? It will be so tedious! Would Moonraider expect you to handle a task like this yourself? No, damn it. Then go do it. Joe, I'm not sure I can. To focus intently like that for so long will be pushing my limit. Limits are there to be pushed. I know that, numbskull. I'm saying I don't want to do this. What you need is some motivation. Moonraider is laughing at you. No, it is not. I'm pretty sure it is. It hacked your sentinel, then concealed the hack from you. I'll say that again. It hacked your sentinel. It gleefully watched as you informed command that Roscoe and Bubba were not affected. Then after we jumped away, it leisurely strolled in and stole the exotic materials that you taught us to manufacture. It is totally laughing at you. You know what the worst part is? I will regret asking this, but what? It predicted that you won't do the one thing that is required to fix the problem. Like you said, it knows you. That's how it beat you. No one beats Skippy the Magnificent. I gave the elders a beatdown. You know who can beat Skippy the Magnificent? Who? Yourself. The only way for Moonraider to win is for you to decide not to do the thing you know is necessary.
Ha ha,
I chuckled. What are you laughing at? You are so wrong about this. I am never wrong, Joe. You think Moonraider is your opponent. Your opponent is yourself. It is not... Huh. Right?
Blah!
Skippy, the biggest obstacle we all have to conquer is inside ourselves. Nobody beats me. That includes me. Joe, I'm gonna bring the pain. Yes, I'm bringing the pain to myself, damn it. No pain, no gain. I hate that stupid expression. I've got plenty more cliches if you need them. I let you know if that happens. Just think of the rage and self-loathing Moonraider will feel when it learns that it failed. That is pain. I am doing this. Joe, I need to go offline for a while. To make absolutely certain that Moonraider didn't leave any more nasty surprises inside either Bubba or Roscoe, I have to review every single line of code in those machines. Wow, that sounds like a barrel full of suck. It will be a mountain of suck. Is there anything I can do to help? Dude, as if. That's what I thought. How long will you be offline? In slow monkey time, 97 hours, 22 minutes, and 38.569 seconds, approximately. In Skippy time, I will be working full-time on this task for 11 billion years. Gotcha. You should bring a snack. The only snack I want right now is a bottle of cyanide pills. Skippy assured me that while he was reviewing in excruciating detail the programming of both Sentinels, the machines would not be impaired. They didn't need to be rebooted or whatever. and that he was not actually going offline. He simply needed to devote all of his formidable resources to the incredibly complicated and tedious task. If we needed him to do anything, Bilby could contact him. Unless there was an actual extreme emergency, no one was to interrupt him. If he was disturbed, he might lose track of the progress he'd made and be forced to start all over again. If that happened, the person who needlessly interrupted him would regret ever being born. Skippy groaned in my ear at what my one half-opened eye saw was the convenient hour of 2:15 in the morning. What made the situation extra delightful was I had finally allowed myself to sleep just after 1:30, so I had just fallen into a deep sleep cycle when he woke me up. What's going on? I rolled over to flop my feet on the floor, my feet that still had shoes on. It is fortunate that Margaret was thousands of light years away, so she couldn't see me wearing shoes on the bed. It's done, he spoke with the burned-out, exhausted slurring of someone who had stayed up all night and was still drunk at 8 a.m, taking a bus to work at a job they hated. I'm done. Stick a fork in me, I am done. Even my slow, sleep-deprived brain could do the math. He had gone past his very specific approximate deadline, not by minutes, but by more than 16 hours. When the 97-hour mark passed without Skippy announcing both sentinels were clear of logic bombs or any other nasty malware, I had not panicked. All I had done was ask Bilby whether Skippy was still working or was locked up in a loop or whether he had stumbled across a booby trap that scrambled his matrix or some other damned thing. No, man, Bilby had drawled. He's good. It's just taking a lot longer than he expected. I think, like, he found some really bad shit he didn't quite understand, and he's going super carefully to deal with it. That was 16 hours before Skippy woke me up. In spite of Bilby's assurances, I had worried about the beer can getting frustrated or getting distracted by something and forgetting what he was supposed to do. Done. I cracked open the thermos of coffee that was ready in case I was awakened in the middle of the night. The first gulp of coffee hitting my dry mouth did not taste great. That's okay. The hot coffee would deliver life-giving caffeine to my tired brain, and then I would be both tired and slightly more awake. Done is good, right? The done part is good, he grunted, still slurring his words. Now you're going to want an update on what I found. Sure, but first, how are you, buddy? You don't want an update immediately? No, if it was an emergency situation, you would have told me right away. Maybe. I feel like shit, Joe. You will power through. True that. How about I take a quick shower and change my uniform while you rest and do whatever you need to recover? What I need is to erase my memory of the past 113 hours. Anything but that, okay? The shower was not a lightning-fast 30-second scrub down. I mean, I took time to drink from the thermos while I was shaving. Skippy needed time to recover, and I felt like my brain was experiencing events with a 2-second time lag. By the time when I was buttoning up my uniform top, my brain was reasonably alert, enough to inform me there was a white blob of shaving cream in my left ear. Hey, Skippy, can you talk now? Huh? Oh, wow, you were gone a long time. Are you feeling better? I've been there. You have never experienced anything like the hell I just went through, but I appreciate the support. Joe, as much as I anticipated the epic suck of reviewing every freaking quint of memory stored in Bubba and Roscoe, I had no idea of the horror I was getting into. What's a quint? Really? That is your question? Well, it sounds like you went through a lot of shit, and I want to fully understand what you're telling me, so I don't waste your time. Oh. Thank you, I suppose. A quint is a single unit of stored memory. Sort of like a computer byte, except a quint is a quantum entity, and it can exist or not exist in multiple states simultaneously. With a sentinel, the units can also exist in multiple dimensions. It's complicated. My monkey brain couldn't understand it. If you even tried, your monkey brain would explode. Then I'll continue to suffer in ignorance. Probably a good idea. The point is, I not only had to examine the programming and data in each sentinel, I needed to do so at the most basic level, and to comprehend every possible state each piece of data could be in, which can change depending on the states of every other quint in that section of the matrix. Shit. Shit indeed. Joe, what I found terrifies me. Both Bubba and Roscoe had been extensively hacked, or, more accurately, conditions had been set up so that my interference could make them hack themselves. If the malicious code had been released and allowed to propagate, soon I would have been locked out, and both sentinels permanently disabled. Well, can you break that down for me, Barney style? This is a technology I have never encountered before. It's something that has never been imagined, not even by the elders. I'm calling it Epic Combinant Malware. Pretend I don't know what that means, okay? Look, you know that the chemistry in your squishy meat sack body is controlled by protein chains you call DNA? I do. DNA doesn't just program your body to have blue eyes or brown. It tells your internal mechanisms how to do basic chemistry, like processing carbohydrates into the adenosine triphosphate, or ATP, that provides the actual energy for your cells. Yeah, I remember that from high school biology class. Okay. So, your DNA contains a lot of what your monkey scientists call junk, sections that are legacy and no longer used. There are also sections that could be active but are situationally switched off. Situationally? Switched off, but could become active depending on environmental triggers, like stress or chemicals you are exposed to, that sort of thing. Is this like how bacon is supposed to be bad for you because the nitrates in it can screw up your body? Not really, but close enough. Joe, you know bacon is bad for you, yet you still eat way too much of it? What I know is scientists say bacon is bad for me, but they're being paid to say that by the kale industry to sell more kale. Come on, Skippy, that's just obvious. Nothing as incredibly delicious as bacon could be bad for you. How is your species still alive? Get back to the subject, okay? Environmental factors can change my DNA? Yes, but that's not what I mean. Hazardous chemicals or radiation can damage your DNA. What I'm talking about is sections of the normal DNA getting switched on or off. That process is referred to as epigenetics. Is this like the ads you see at the bottom of a website selling pills that are supposed to make your body younger? Never scroll to the bottom of a website, dum-dum. But yes, that's what those pills claim to do. Most of them do nothing. That's what I thought. If you know pills like that are a scam, then why did you buy those male enhanced... That's not important right now, I said quickly. It was important at the time, or you wouldn't have spent 200... Don't change the subject. How is DNA related to the freaking sentinels? They're not biological organisms. They actually are organisms, but not based on biology. Anywho, my point is, at first, everything appeared to be as it should be inside the sentinels. Then, because I always go the extra mile, I dug deeper. The booby trap that Moonraider left for me in the library files got me concerned. That was not just impressively smart, it was clever. A smart enemy I can deal with. A clever enemy terrifies me. I mean, look at you, for example. You are objectively a moron, but you are also astonishingly clever. Thank you. It is your cleverness, plus of course my extreme awesomeness, that allowed us to kick ass from one side of the galaxy to the other. Really, being clever is your one redeeming quality. When I die, please let someone else write my obituary. Oh, I have already done that, Joe. You have? Yes. I have hundreds of possible obituaries that I can publish depending on which hilariously stupid way in which you get yourself killed. Like if you slip on the soap and hit your head while you're enjoying yourself in the shower, can you please just send a nice flower arrangement instead? You suspected Moonraider had left another booby trap. Why is that a problem? You know its programming signature, or whatever you call the method a particular hacker uses. It is a problem because the booby trap in the library files was a decoy. That doesn't sound good. Moonraider anticipated I would find that booby trap, look for others like it, and be high-fiving myself for being smarter than my opponent. That actually is what I did, and I thought had that done in only 87 hours. I was planning to surprise you by announcing I was done with the job 2 hours early. 2 hours? You said you finished 9 hours ahead of time. That would have given me 7 blissful hours to recover by watching Bollywood movies without a barrel full of monkeys screeching at me. Okay, I can understand that. Not the Bollywood part, but I get it. What happened? It didn't feel right. It was too easy. So, I dug deeper. The second time I ran through my models, I still got nothing. No malware, no hidden code, no logic bombs, no traps. Then, I figured while I was inside Roscoe's Matrix, I might as well tweak it to fix some of the damage, extend its service life a bit longer, or at least make it more stable for long-term storage after it goes dormant. When I adjusted one, just one freaking quint of code, I saw that triggered a change in another completely unrelated section. Joe, a small change in the environment caused latent code to assemble itself. Whoa. That's why I call it epicombinant malware. The code is all there, existing as potential quantum states of data quints, but not expressed until a specific environmental change occurs. That change would be me erasing the logic bomb. Holy shit. Yep. That is why I described Moon Raider as clever. If I had missed the logic bomb, it would have disabled both Sentinels. But if I had simply erased the thing and congratulated myself, the latent code would have assembled itself, locked me out, and disabled Bubba and Roscoe. You know how to fix the problem? Yes. More importantly, I learned something. Two things, actually. What? I learned an entirely new technology. Right now, I'm not sure I can replicate the effect to use it myself in the future, but I understand it well enough to prevent the potential latent code from ever manifesting here. Will you be able to recognize whether some other system is infected the same way? Wowza, that is a tough question. Joe, I only discovered this malware because I suffered through an agonizing effort to examine the Sentinel matrices at the lowest possible level. I guess, I could do that again if I absolutely had to. You do have to. There is another Sentinel at Jaguar. Oh, well, that won't be so difficult. I know how Moon Raider hacked these Sentinels. The malware in Roscoe is nearly identical to that inside Bubba. Nearly identical? The matrix of each Sentinel is unique, so the code has to be adjusted to fit each host. Also, remember, Roscoe is badly damaged. Okay, gotcha. It's not that Moon Raider used different methods on each Sentinel. Just that it filed off the edges to make the code fit. Close enough. The hacking technology is one new thing you learned. What is... No, you're missing the point. The hacking method isn't what is important. Moon Raider has discovered a way to trigger a change in the quantum state of one quint based on changes to others that aren't even connected. It's a cascade effect that I wasn't aware was even possible. As far as I know, even the elders weren't aware that type of physics is possible. Well, maybe they kept it a secret. No, no way. The technology is far too useful. The elders would have employed it if they could. That brings me to the second thing I learned, something that scares the shit out of me. Joe, assuming Moon Raider is an elder master control AI, it can do things I can't do. It is an expert in a technology I just became aware of. If we get into a stand-up fight with the thing, we could be fucked. I hear you. I think you might be overreacting a bit. Is this you giving me some bullshit pep talk to make me feel better? This is me reminding you of the facts. Moon Raider had to use a sneaky technique to get you to trigger the hack because, unlike you, it isn't capable of directly taking over a Sentinel. Okay, sure, but we have seen no evidence that it can warp space-time the way you do. It hasn't screwed with wormhole networks, even though clearly it knows you have done that. Changing wormhole connections is a hugely useful capability, so Moon Raider would have done that if it could. It is not more powerful than you. It's just, I hear what you're saying and you are correct. As usual, you are also missing the point. Everything I do, all of my extra special awesomenesses. What I see is awesome messes, I muttered. What? Nothing. Please continue. He sniffed. Anywho, everything I do is just me extending the elder technology that was built into me. I haven't added a capability that is beyond what my creators knew of. You have created new branches of mathematics. True and also irrelevant. Although I did blow my own mind when I calculated how to jump a ship through a stable wormhole, I was able to build upon the math I already knew. You allowed the elders to permanently ascend without needing constant power flow from this layer of reality. That is because I understood the ascension environment better than the elders did. To reach that understanding, I simply extrapolated from the knowledge the elders gave me. Not simply, but you know what I mean. I do. Okay, you're saying Moon Raider has discovered a new type of physics and learned how to use it. Yes, that is the problem. There is no limit to what Moon Raider could do if it continues to discover and learn. You're afraid to screw with it? I'm afraid of what will happen if we don't stop it right now. That thing is only going to become smarter and more clever and more powerful. You do want to stop it. This is my galaxy, Joe. I can't let some punk-ass newcomer run wild. So you're saying, saddle up! We ride! The last time Skippy told me saddle up, we ride was when we realized the Elders conducting a hard reset on the AIs had left those AIs open to Skippy wiping them all out. If he remembered that, he didn't say anything, and I didn't mention it. That was not a happy memory for either of us. Despite his cowboyish declaration, we did not immediately jump the ship away to... That was part of the problem. To do what? The Milky Way is a big galaxy. We had no idea where Moon Raider had gone. We also couldn't leave until Skippy scrubbed all the potentially malicious code from the two sentinels that protected Earth, then made double and triple sure there wasn't some other nasty surprise he didn't know about. Finally, I had to sell to command the idea that Skippy leaving our solar system, for real and very publicly, would be a good thing. It was understandable that the chiefs of staff were hesitant about trusting the beer can's assurances. They had to consider the idea and consult with their home governments while I stressed the urgency of moving now. My plea for urgency would have been more effective if I had an actual, actionable plan for finding and stopping Moon Raider. So, we worked on that while the UN DEFCOM chiefs debated whether to release Valkyrie from guard duty. By worked on it, I mean me, Skippy, Reed, and Frey putting on our thinking caps. And got nothing.